gospel comes to us from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. Two good friends who were avid hikers were walking through the deep forest one afternoon when suddenly they were confronted by a giant bear. Immediately, one of the friends took off his boots and pulled out a pair of tennis shoes and began putting them on. "What are you doing?" cried his companion. "We can't outrun that bear even with a pair of tennis shoes." "Who cares about the bear?" the friend replied. "All I have to worry about is outrunning you." Sometimes our willingness to love is just like that. Our first instinct is self-preservation. Too often we would rather worry about our own lives instead of the lives of those whom Christ has commanded us to love. When push comes to shove, our love for others has a tendency to go south. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, an officer, Captain John Miller, and seven soldiers are commissioned to find Private Ryan so that Ryan could be sent home, sent back to his family. Private Ryan's three other brothers had died in battle, and it comes to the attention of some of the top brass that Ryan is the only son left to his grieving mother. The problem, however, was no one knew the whereabouts of Private Ryan. At last report, he was located somewhere behind enemy lines. So one squad of soldiers was commanded to find Private Ryan, even at the risk of their own lives. All throughout the movie, the squad commissioned to save Private Ryan grumbled about their plot. "This Ryan had better be worth it. He better go home and cure some disease or invent a longer-lasting light bulb. Where's the sense of risking eight lives for one guy?" one soldier complained to his commanding officer. "To me, sir, this mission is a serious miscalculation of military resources." Those soldiers did what they did because they were ordered to do so. Their feelings about why they were doing it were irrelevant. They knew it had to be done. Regardless, they were commanded to save a life. And Jesus tells his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." just as the soldiers in Saving Private Ryan had been commanded to save, so are Jesus' disciples commanded to love, no matter what. Even if it means laying down one's life. The difference, of course, is that the soldiers did, what they had to do out of a sense of duty, and Christ's followers do what they have to do out of a sense of love. You see, in both cases, one's feelings for why one is doing what one is doing is irrelevant. Sure, it's nice when we're doing something loving that makes us feel warm and fuzzy all over, but sometimes we are commanded to love even when we have lost that loving feeling. Even when those feelings are farthest from our minds, our emotions might run even opposite of what we would normally expect. We have been commanded to love one another regardless. Now, we usually don't think of love as something that we should be commanded to do. Our first reaction is to ask the question, shouldn't love be given freely? And the answer is yes, when we are able, when we can do that. Then our next question might be, how can we be forced to love someone else? And think about it, that's also a very good question. If we are forced to love someone, can we really call it love? Normally we would not think so, yet it's because we so closely link and associate love with our feelings. What's particularly striking about Jesus' commandment to love is that it's self-fulfilling. If you keep God's commandments, if you love one another, then you are being loving. When we obey God's commandments, we show God that we love Him. When we love other people, then we are showing our love towards God. And this love is to be all-inclusive. God the Father loves God the Son. God the Son loves us. We love other people. And through that love of others, we express our love to God. It's a circle. It's not a vicious circle. It's a blessed circle. And that love keeps going around and around and around. Love given, love received. Love given, not love held on to, but love given on. Even those small acts of love make a difference in our world. One of our members told me about a recent hospitalization in Columbus. In Columbus, sometimes friends and relatives are not always readily available for comfort. The member said it was unbelievable as to how many people she didn't even know offered her prayers and hugs and words of comfort. One woman who sold her a cup of coffee and knew that she was feeling particularly anxious offered to give her a free hug with her cup of coffee. You know what? The next day, that same woman made her way up to the waiting room to inquire how that family member was doing. It's good to know that such love is out there, even when it's unsolicited. And we are called to be a part of that. And then there are times when our love has to be an act of the will before it's an act of the heart. There are some people who are just downright difficult to love. If you think about it, you could probably name a few right now. I'm not asking for names. In the Peanuts cartoon, the opening frame shows Linus building a sandcastle. It takes him quite a bit of time to build a castle as he hums a tune. And all of a sudden, wham, Lucy rides her tricycle right through the sandcastle, obliterating Linus's many hours of effort. First, Linus stares at the ground in disbelief. Then a look of anger comes over his face. Then he begins a determined walk to confront his sister Lucy. When Linus sees her, she has a very smug grin on her face. Lucy turns and looks at Linus with a "what's your problem" kind of face. And bless his hard hand on his chin, Linus suggests, "perhaps you should see a doctor." Linus was never mean to her, ever, although she was mean to him numerous times. Lucy wasn't very likable, but Linus loved her anyway, like a sister. We can relate, all of us can, to this cartoon because we have had some people do some pretty mean things to us over the years. We may want to retaliate an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus commands us to love. There are even times when you're commanded to love, even though people who we are to love will hate us. You see, immediately after Jesus tells his disciples about this commandment to love, he makes the disciples aware that there will be people who will hate them, who will even work against them. But he expects them to love them anyway. This is the part of today's gospel lesson which may be difficult for us to appreciate. It's very rare in this country for people, you and I, to be persecuted for our faith. We are not thrown into dungeons or fed to the lions or experience some horrendous torture because of what we believe. What about those of us who do not experience persecution? Perhaps that says more about where we are in our faith than we would like or even care to think about. Perhaps we too often try to blend in with the world's values so much. Perhaps we blend in too much so that we'll not be laughed at. Perhaps we are not standing strongly enough on the command to love for anyone really to notice. We may flinch a bit when we hear Jesus is commanding us to love, commanding us to love those that are unlovely, those who hate us, those who may want to take our very life from us. We may flinch a bit, but it's good news for us because we do not stand alone in that commandment to love. For when we follow Jesus' commandment, we abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us. He commands us to do these things, not so that they are a burden upon us, not so that they are one more thing to add to our list, but so that our joy may be complete, so that we may love as God loves, and make a difference, not only in this congregation, not only in this community, not only in our state, not only in our nation, so that we may make a difference in this world. And it all starts with those small acts of love and kindness. Friends, we do not go alone. Everything that we do makes a difference in this world. Let us love one another as God has loved us.